If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 16, just verses 16 and 17 this morning. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, please, as we pause now before your word. We've come this morning to hear from you. For many of us, these two verses are very familiar, so Father, please don't let us miss the significance in the familiar. Timothy is going through some challenging times. The Apostle Paul is in prison, each wanting to encourage the other. Paul wanting to instruct his young pastor friend, and through him, us. So, Father, take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said in chapter 3 and verse 1 that difficult times will come. They will come, in fact, because man's default position is to pursue himself and primarily himself. Godlessness, when confronted with the godly, with those in pursuit of Christ's likeness, will result in persecution and opposition. Just in verse 15, Paul tells Timothy, continue in the sacred writings, get into the Word of God. When struggles, challenges confront us personally, when they confront us as a church, corporately, or as the body of Christ, we need to be driven to the Word of God. Regularly, I need to, you need to ask the question, why? Verses 16 and 17 answer that question. First of all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis to Revelation, all of it is the very Word of God. All of it is inspired by Him. There are those today who are challenging the value, for instance, of the Old Testament. And yes, it is true, on Sunday morning, we spend almost all of our time in the New Testament. But if you're here for other opportunities, teaching, you know that we do not ignore the Old Testament, and regularly we use the Old Testament to illustrate and to help us understand the New Testament, because it is all Scripture. Even those challenging parts like the first part of Matthew, which is reflected in a big chunk of the Old Testament, euphemistically simply referred to as the begats. What are they there for? To remind us that God has a plan, a perfect plan where every man fits. It didn't just so happen. It was all a part of God's perfect plan. And all of it points to Jesus and who He is. All Scripture is inspired by God. Your Bible maybe says God breathed, because it's very easy to trip over that English word, inspired. We think in terms of Scripture being inspiring. And while that may be true, it's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul wants us to know Genesis to Revelation, all of it is the very breath of God. God spoke the world into existence. He just spoke it. When He created man, He breathed into man life itself. And so when He wanted to communicate to man, did He use men? Yes. But He used them to reflect His very breath. Peter describes it this way in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. Peter says, men were moved by the Holy Spirit to produce Scripture. Written by men, yes, but moved by the Holy Spirit. The first time I was confronted with this verse, I was sitting in a classroom at Moody Bible Institute. A professor by the name of Edgar James, a pastor, who was also a teacher, said that word, and he pointed in the direction of Lake Michigan. He said that that word would have been very familiar to Peter, because that being moved is the word that Peter would have used to describe filling the sails on his boat. When he'd launch out to go fishing and put up the sails, as those sails would be limp and would be filled with the wind and move that boat along. That's the word Peter uses. It's like those mornings. God took men and filled them and moved them to write what? The very words of God. That's why being in Scripture is so important. It is the very Word of God. It is the very breath of God. It is profitable for teaching. That is why, and it's not just rote, it's what we mean. That is why Scripture is the foundation for our very, very faith and practice. It is from Scripture that we find that God loves us, that Jesus died for us, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's the foundation of our faith and practice. How do we live? We live as Scripture teaches us to live. Whatever we do, we make sure that we're not violating the Word of God. Does the Word of God speak to every area of life? Maybe not. In detail? Maybe not. But where it speaks, where we're told how to live, yes, that's exactly what we should do. And the first question we should always ask is what does the Bible say? When I have an opportunity to do something, to think something, to say something, I should always ask, what does the Bible say? Because it is the foundation for my faith and practice. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. Those sound synonymous, but I've added these other words to sort of help us see the difference. For reproof, to convict. I may be reading in Scripture, and all of a sudden come to the conclusion, oh, that's what God says. And here, this is what I've been doing. This is what I've been thinking. This is how I've been responding. But look at what Scripture says. I'm not supposed to be doing that. Scripture convicts me of wrongdoing. Scripture convicts me of sin. And it's the only thing that should convict me of sin. It is also for correction. Because God's plan right from the start was not to destroy, but to restore. God loves taking what has been ruined and making it right again. This whole unfolding drama of redemption is all about redeeming, restoring. And so, having come to the conviction that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, responding by faith to God's gift of grace through the finished work of Christ, and then because He is my Savior, my Lord, expects me to live as though I am, there will be corrections that need to be made from time to time. Because God wants me, God wants you to become more and more like Jesus. So, teaching from God's Word is profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now again, it's a little too simplistic for my theological friends, but simply, righteousness is making right choices. So if I'm going to make right choices, if I'm going to mature in Christ's likeness, I need to know what those right choices are. And those right choices are going to come to me first through my study of this book. Reading, studying, meditating upon it, taking the time to understand it, and then to apply it to my life, to the choices that I make. Regularly we refer to our faith informing every part of our lives. Knowing what the book says, and then making my mind, my thoughts, my acts conform to what Scripture expects of me for training in righteousness, so that I can learn how to make right choices. So all Scripture is inspired by God. so that, verse 17, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Now, I've expanded this a little bit, and again, with the help of other translations, but my Bible simply says, so that the man of God may be adequate. And I just don't think the English word adequate fits there. I don't think God is satisfied with me being adequate. And it's not the best translation. Better, perhaps, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Everything that pastor needs for teaching, for living, for convicting, for restoring himself and others, everything he needs is right here. Everything. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And for the most part, what we do, whether it's me as your pastor or whether it's you pursuing Christ-likeness, everything that we do sort of falls into two major categories. Evangelism, sharing the gospel, living in a Christ-like lifestyle that is evident to others, making relationships, and in the pursuit of that, sharing your faith. Simply telling others what Jesus has done for you. Sharing the gospel. Evangelism. The other half, or the other part, is edification. A fancy word for growing or helping others to grow. Everything we should be involved in should fall into one of those two categories. That's what he's talking about when he says, every good work, from here. To know the gospel, to know how to share the gospel. One of the New Testament's evangelists led with a very simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, no, I don't. Well, let me help you understand what you're reading. And before it was all over with, they had a baptismal service. You can do that. I can do that. And we learn how, we learn what, we learn how from reading Scripture. But just like birthing a baby isn't the end, we also want to be involved in our own personal growth and in helping others to grow. Sometimes it's going to mean challenging, sometimes it's going to be encouraging, but helping people to grow. And how do we do that? God's word. Because again, at the end of the day, you don't want to be like me. You want to be like Jesus. At the end of the day, you don't need to know what I think. You need to know what Jesus thinks. You need to know what the Bible says. And again, those of you who've been around me long, you know that's what I try to do. I try to make sure you leave here knowing what Scripture has said. So that whether it's you, somebody at work says, well, what does your pastor teach? Or what does your church teach? Somebody comes to me. Well, what do you think about this? When it's all said and done, it really doesn't matter what I think. The only thing that really matters is what does Scripture say? What did Jesus say? What does the Bible say? So that when they walk away, they're confronted with the Word of God, not your opinion. Even if your opinion reflects the Word of God, if they leave knowing that they have been told what the Bible says, then they know that's what they're grappling with. Not with what some Baptist preacher thinks, or not with what some buddy who just sits in church thinks. No. What does the Bible say? Difficult times will come. Even opposition, persecution. How do we cope? Timothy, how do you cope with that? Scripture. One of the challenges that we will see before this is done is that Timothy struggled with evangelism. Do you struggle with that? I do. I don't think of myself as an evangelist. I don't think of myself as gifted in the area of evangelism. And apparently Timothy didn't either. But Paul will tell Timothy, do the work of evangelism, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. Evangelism and edification. Share the gospel and then help people grow. That's what you're supposed to be doing, so that the people in the church see you doing it, so that they'll do it. Share the gospel and then help people grow. You can't neglect one for the other. So Timothy, Pastor Dan, get back into Scripture. See again the value, the necessity of not just growth, but the gospel as well. Thoroughly equipped, not just adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. All through your word, we see your love. From Genesis to Revelation, you have a plan. A plan that includes us. And wherever we are, pastors, teachers, lay men and women who will go into areas where pastors and teachers don't get to go. In the classroom, on the shop floor, in the barns. Wherever we go, may our lives, our minds, our thoughts, our words, all be informed by our knowledge of your word. May our lives reflect your word within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.